Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today, we're going to talk about Seinagi.
Yeah, it's one of the most popular throws.
Super popular. It's aesthetically pleasing.
Exactly. You know, I think a lot of times when people think of judo, they think of Ippon Seinagi, you know?
Yeah. They think about the arm throw.
Arm throws, yeah.
Yeah, launching the guy over your back, guy or girl, right? Yeah. It's in Street Fighter. It's in every movie ever made.
Yeah, so... this is another edition of the judo throw episode. So we're gonna dedicate the whole episode about Seinagi. So let's start with why you think or we think it's such an iconic throw in judo, because it does wrestlers use it too. They call it arm throws or various names, but if you especially if you watch freestyle or Greco-Roman wrestling, they do this a lot.
But why it depends on where you're from. You know what I mean? If you're doing a Russian-style wrestling, there's a lot more throws, right? There's a lot more high-amplitude throws because in the United States, it's collegiate scholastic wrestling, folk-style wrestling, even, they call it, right? Sometimes we call it collegiate scholastic folk-style wrestling, which is different from freestyling Greco-Roman wrestling. Those sports get more rewarded points for big throws, right? Big dynamic, right? So they're rewarded more for that. In collegiate wrestling, you don't get rewarded for that at all. You get the same 2 points. Unless you put them to their back, and you get back points,
right?
So based on the rule set and how many points you get rewarded, it changes how the wrestling actually looks like.
Right,
you know
what I
mean? Collegiate wrestling is a lot more control-based because I think for insurance reasons too and safety reasons. Because you don't want a guy...
modify it to be more safe,
Yeah, they don't want to go belly-to-belly suplex and then kid goes upside down and gets spiked on their head. They just don't want that, right? Mm. So they don't reward any points for it. They're potentially dangerous. If you lift them, you have to put them down safely. All this stuff discourages these kind of big throws. You
know what I mean? Right, right.
Even in collegiate wrestling, they call Ippon Seinagi the Jap Wizard.
Short for
the Japanese Wizard.
The Wizard,
people used to say that.
no problem.
Yeah. Dude, how racist does it sound, right? He's very good at wrestling. This freshman in high school, I was already pretty good, and I was throwing every wall with Ippon Seinagi. And they used to say, freshman sensation, Shintaro Higashi, Jap Wizards everyone.
Ah! Wait, on the local newspaper?
That was like a real thing in the newspaper. I was like, wow, that's...
that's messed up.
Yeah, the Japanese wizard, like they call it the Jap wizard.
Yeah, well, I guess that's kind of, besides the whole racist name...
Connotation to it,
but you can already see that they called it the Japanese wizard because...
Yeah.
Probably from judo. Yeah.
Potentially, wrestling definitely has been around longer, but, you can never deny, the influence that judo had on countries like Russia, who has sambo, which is a judo wrestling hybrid sport.
Yeah.
That's their national sport, right?
Right, right.
And a lot of these MMA fighters that come from Dagestan and Kyrgyzstan and Belarus, those guys do more sambo than actual wrestling.
I
shouldn't say Russia. Russia probably has a big wrestling program. I can't say, more sambo than wrestling. I shouldn't say that, but... Definitely a judo influence.
Yeah, over there it's a little fluid too.
Yeah,
they kind of do everything. All right, so this is a bit about why the popularity behind Seinagi. It's kind of iconic throw. And
the arc of the throw is
it is huge. It goes over. Yeah,
yeah. You take the person. If you guys never looked up Koga highlights, KOGA, go do Koga highlights. He was the most spectacular. Seinagi, mostly Ippon Seinagi. I'm saying Ippon Seinagi, Seinagi interchangeably because they're a very similar throw. They're both hand techniques.
Yeah.
Right? There's three types of throws, right? Hand techniques, hip techniques, foot techniques.
Right.
And then sacrifice techniques, but we're going to disregard that for now, right?
All right. So not only is it popular, it seems like it is very, but also it's very effective. In competition settings too, it's kind
for
of
sure.
Maybe that's why it's one of the most popular throws. It not only does it look good, but also it is effective. So what your opinion is behind its effectiveness?
Well, so you're throwing your whole body into it, So there's a lot of turning, centripetal force, fast twitch, turning, ripping the technique, and then there's also a dropping component too. Right? So you could do it high, or you could do it drop Seinagi.
Right.
Or some people might say Seoi Otoshi.
Yeah.
Okay, shoulder drop.
Reddit
goes crazy with this one.
It's almost as popular as the Uchimata versus Hanagoshi argument.
Yeah, yeah. Seoi Otoshi versus drop Seinagi, it's just a different throw. But we're all bundling the Seiwa Nage thing. You know, I like to teach the kids called the backpack throw. You're putting on a backpack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like you hold the backpack like this or with one arm, right? It's a backpack throw. You could do it high. You could do it low. And when you're doing it low, you could run your feet.
It literally means in Japanese, like a piggyback throw, right?
Yes. Seo is like put on the back, you know? Yeah. So it's considered like a lifting throw.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could put your legs into it. And you know, there's definitely a criticism of like, if you miss it, you give up your back, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But a lot of these judo throws, there's that learning curve, you know? Yes, you miss it, you go to your back, give up your back. But if it's done really explosively, you know, with the right timing, with the right movement, with the right execution, the right finish, it's very, very effective. There's lots of ways to enter, lots of ways to finish, you know? So the combination of that, you know, like the how you set it up, you know, in conjunction with a lot of different backward techniques, right? So kochi, snap, moving, circling, cutting that angle, whipping them around your back. You go high seinagi, then you go low seinagi, you go ippon seinagi with one-handed, right? As you're losing, you go to the other side, like the weak side, you know? I'll tell you this, man. I was fighting Ariel Zevi. He was a European champ from Israel back in the day. Mm. And he's a big, big, big dude.
Yeah.
You know, and he would come out as a righty and I would outgrip him as a righty, which is nuts, right? Yeah. He's like so much bigger than me and stuff.
Right.
And then he'd be like, oh no, I'm being outgripped. And he'll switch to this like really weak inside left and he'll like cower away. Yeah. And he would do a drop left Morote Senagi.
Oof.
Yeah. And he caught me with that pretty good. And it was like, whoa, you know, he's tall. Right-sided, high right hand, dominant, like big turn throw.
You wouldn't expect that from him.
And then he did like a very, you know,
sneaky
drop left, you know, and it was so nice. It was so good, you know. So like a lot of different body types can do it.
Yeah.
Tall guys, short guys.
A lot of people think that, you know, seinagi is usually for shorter people, but even heavyweight, I guess relatively speaking, there'll be shorter people between heavyweights, but still, like, even tall people go for it.
Yeah. Even, like, Inoue was very good at it, you know? Yeah, he goes, like, high Uchimata, high Uchimata. He, like, as he's coming out, he drops and goes underneath.
Yeah.
You know? And this is the beauty of seinagi, right? Like, just to kind of go with the question that you asked, why is it so effective? Morote seinagi, you have two hands on the collar.
Right.
And you're, like, pulling them towards you, and then you're dropping underneath them, and then using your hand to, like, run them, right? So you're creating momentum forward. You're diving under their arms and their hips, off balance, and then you're going to drive them in the direction that they have momentum. Yeah. And then you get to use your legs to run it, right? So it's a very effective throw. I hate, you know, the spamming drop seinagi sort of guys do that. They just drop and drop and drop and try to force penalties, right? Like, hey, other person's passive, like shido, right? But it's an art to it, you know? And there's reverse Korean seinagi. That was a whole thing that's now banned. Sorry, Korea, you know?
there was some crazy variation on it. But yeah, I think that the versatility and then the fact that it uses the whole body, you can really put everything behind it. So, you know, if you want to get a throw in, that's a way to do it. You have to use the whole body. Yeah. And then actually using the, you know, it is a hand throw, but the finish comes from your legs. So I guess you're using the biggest muscles in your body.
It's really amazing, you know, based on the high low. So think of it this way, right? You got Morote Seinagi, which you use two hands. Ippon Seinagi, which you use one hand. Yeah. You have the drop series. So you could do drop Morote, drop Ippon Seinagi. Yeah. Okay, and then you got the cousins of those guys, which is Sode.
Mm.
You go Sode both ways.
Right.
So now you could enter Sode high to the left. You could go Ippon Seinagi high to the weak side, left, right, wrist, right.
Mm.
You could do the same techniques, drop to the left. You could do the same techniques to the right, right?
I know.
You could do it off wrong side collar and sleeve, right? Which is like the traditional Sode grip. Then you could do double sleeve, right? Like there's just so many different combinations. It's like, you know, and then you mix it, match it with Kochi Ochi, dude. You got like, you know, like 47 different techniques that are off as one, you know, dropping under the person sort of a situation.
Yeah.
You know, and you could drop high, drop low. You could play with their feet on the inside of the legs, Kochi Ochi. Boy, does that, you know, really change the game, right? If you know how to use it properly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that leads to the next question. How do you learn to use it properly? I think it's one of the first throws, like front throws you learn as a judo.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's not the easiest throw to learn as a beginner. you know, not as intuitive. Yes. So how do you teach it nowadays? You know, how would you recommend people to learn, try to learn it? Yeah.
So I think the biggest mistake is like they show the shape of the move. Hey, facing each other upright, right versus right, collar sleeve. You open the hand, you drop underneath, and then you bend your knees and then you throw over. I've never seen anyone throw anyone like that. If you can't do that, you can't progress to the next stage, obviously. Right. But spending too much time doing 1,000 uchikomis, 1,000 two person uchikomi, three person uchikomi, not going, there's sort of like a point of diminishing returns. Exactly. Yeah. Right. You nailed it. Right. So I would say, like, contextually, like a lot of moving uchikomi, but like in combination, contextual. Right. So it's like, how do you free up this right hand? How do you free up this left hand? You know, if you guys want sort of visual how to on this, you could go to YouTube and type Seinagi Shintaro Higashi. There's tons of resources out there for free. There is a Seinagi, Drop Seinagi tutorial that you could purchase on ShintaroHigashi.com. But honestly, man, it's $10. Like, there's so much on YouTube for free. Just freaking watch that. You know what I mean? So
he goes into I watched it and he goes into a lot of details about
So like freeing up the sleeve, right? What are the main resistance points that you're gonna get when you're trying to do this throw?
Yeah.
You know? If they're hands high on the collar, then you can't turn the head. So you have to address that, right? If they're pinning this elbow to your hip, then you can't turn in. So like you have to address that. How do you address it? You do these types of things, right? And generally, if you want to do those things and you're looking for those things, the other person knows you're looking for those things. So you have to do meaningful feints and threats to destabilize them. Hey, I might try to do a Seinagi, but I'm going to go Kochi. And I kick the shit out of their leg, right? Like, wow, you know? And then you free one arm and now you're able to drop underneath. Right. So it's like playing that game of like, hey, destabilizing your opponent's stance, moving them meaningfully, and then attacking their feet, and then setting up the throw to where they don't see it coming.
Yeah. Right.
And the last bit of it is just the execution of actually doing the throw, which most people spend way too much time doing. Right. And then once they get in, there's the finish. How do you finish it based on what reaction? If they scoot their hips to the outside, you have to run it in a different way. You know what I mean? And a lot of people just kind of drop and then do an ab curl and hope that they go over. That only works if the off balance was perfect and the timing was perfect. And they're like hovering over you. Yeah. They're about to trip over you anyway. You know, it isn't the right finish. You know what I mean? Do you see guys doing that? Yes, because timing was perfect and now that's all they could do. But a lot of times timing is imperfect. They see it coming. They try to defend it. That's when you need to know how to drive forward and run it or switch to something else. Yeah. Somebody just did this to the world or something like this, or the Grand Prix. You know, someone dropped in Nippon Seinagi, literally lifted, and then they stood up with the person and then dove forward and did a
I saw the throw. Beautiful.
Super cool, right? Yeah. You guys got to go Judo Gallery on Instagram. It has like it's like their new IJF thing where they're taking clips from JudoTV.com, which is like another great thing that they're doing, showcasing judo. You can watch individual matches of all the major tournaments. Super professionally done, you know?
We talked about that episode,
So, that's sort of my tip. You know, you got to learn contextual judo, right? You can't just learn the techniques. It's like boxing, right? You can't just learn a jab and cross and hook and uppercut, and now all of a sudden you're a boxer. You know, how does it work with feints? How does it work with defensive maneuvers? How do you string together? How do you make the person think you're going to go for something? How do you manage distance, right?
Yeah.
Grip fighting is a piece on this, right? Because if you're doing Ippon Seinagi, you have to have one hand on, and then the other hand has to be free. You know, so how do you get to that position? There's many different ways to enter that sort of Ippon Seinagi precursor motions, you know, that are very requirements. You're going to learn all this stuff on my YouTube. The whole thing is my YouTube. Like, share, and subscribe.
That's right. Yeah. And the podcast too. So now let's go into a little more like, I guess it might be more nuanced questions. So I used to be a big Serenage guy. Like, I used to spam that thing, like left, right, right, left, everywhere.
Yeah.
And because I would do the drop style because I rely heavily on my speed. And now my knees are giving out. I can't do it as much anymore. So, you know, Shintaro knows that I've changed my style and whatnot. Yeah. But I feel like this is a common question, like a lot. And we talked about old guy judo too, people who start late. They can't do it as much, the drop techniques. Yeah. Any advice on that? Should they look for another throw, or is there something they can do? Is there something they can do to mitigate this issue?
Yeah, I mean, standing Seinagi, which is much harder to hit, you know?
Yeah.
But everyone kind of puts it in their own head and they put limits on themselves by saying like, oh, I have to be really, really fast in order to do this. But majority of the time it has nothing to do with speed. You know, a lot of the times it has something to do with if I'm turning to my left over here, right, to right side, Ipotsenagi, they bring that right leg back and bring it forward and then pivot off of that. You know, so you're taking yourself one step back. Right. So having your right leg forward first and then pivoting, and like it's sort of like, you know, split step Ipotsenagi, having that kind of a thing, right? Having the right setup for that, you know, having like that hand controlled and your hand beaten to the inside already and controlling that inside space and then working it. You know, these kinds of things are very important, right? Because it kind of takes speed out of the factor, you know? I mean, it doesn't take it out, but it just shortens.
Yeah, you don't, right, you don't need to be as nearly as fast.
Yeah, because it just shortens the distance of the throw, you know? Yeah. So working on that, they can potentially help, you know, looking for a specific time. Like if you outgrip the person and then you have their sleeve and they're trying to cut that sleeve hand, like ripping it away. And then on the third try, like letting them rip the hand away, right? Mm-hmm. So now you have one hand on the collar. So now you can go throw it to the weak side, Ipotsenagi. As they're bringing that hand back to put their hand on the collar, you go right in, you know? So something like that, which is a little bit more nuanced, timing-based sort of a thing. You know what I mean? Or even like getting really, really good at Kochi-Ochi. So Kochi-Ochi, like dragging him forward, make it look like Tenagi, make it look like Tenagi. So you're throwing, you're spamming feint. Feint, right? And Takoto, I just saw a video of him doing Kochi on a little kid.
Just like for fun.
But he's like moving this way, moving that way. Looks like Kosoto, looks like Senai, looks like Kosoto, looks like Uchimata. What's coming? And then he just tips him over with a Kochi, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like that. You know, the more feints you throw in for Senai and the more reactions you could get, the better for the back throws, Ochi, Kochi. Yeah. And once you start spamming those and hitting people with it, right? Now every time you make it look like you're going to go for Senai, they're less likely to react.
Right, right.
And then maybe you could do it once or twice in the round, which kind of preserves your knees a little bit. You know what I mean? There's a big difference between doing Senai, drop Senai 10 times in a round versus me doing it once or twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I went to Kano Martial Arts Open Mat.
Oh, yeah.
Right? My other dojo.
Videos, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, our friend was there, right? And the Rondorian drop Senai was there, so I hit it once. The whole Open Mat, I hit drop Senai one time. You know what I mean? And so it was fine, you know?
Right, your knees are fine. Yeah.
And my left knee is the one that's bothering me now, the one I can't close all the way.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So you could see in that video that my left knee is extended away, right? So I'm not putting all my weight on my left knee. I'm putting all my weight on my right. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's by design, you know?
Right. I see. So you're like, it's a right-sided Serinage, and then you open up your left knee and then driving, right?
Yes, yeah. So it didn't compress my knee in the way that it normally would, you know? But it takes really, really good awareness and knowledge of the throws to be able to protect your knees in the way that you know it hurts, right? So that takes a long time. You know, it takes a really good teacher and a coach, and you have an understanding of all the different types. And that's a tough one to do, but, you know, I'm freaking really great at this.
Well, I can personally attest to this. So, I mean, you know, I used to be like that guy, like, you know, Serinage, I'll try 10 times. And then a couple of things that really helped was one is, you know, setting it up really nicely. So I only use it now as like a finisher. Like I'll go through my chain of all the throws. And then I know that I can really finish the Serinage because it's my tokui waza.
Yeah.
So I'll like do it only at the end. So I don't hit it as often. And another thing is the point about you it's in one of your videos, but opening up your hip. So I used to rely on my speed and then just drop underneath and then all my weight would be just like boom on my go on my knees. Yeah. It's a lot of impact. But then if you do the thing where that Shintaro talks about where you drop but then immediately you shift your hips so that you can start running. If I found that it lessens the impact on your knees significantly.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, because you're kind of like bouncing off the floor.
Yeah.
Instead of like putting all your weight on your knees and then stopping.
Yeah. The worst is this. When you drop into your knees, like you just said, and the person's weight drops down on top of that.
Yeah.
That will mess your knees. Anyone knees up, really. Especially if you can't compress your knees all the way in flexion. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which my knees can't do that. So if I drop to both knees with my ankles flat, and someone sprawls on me, I'm really messed up. So I very much so pick and choose when I enter. and only enter with absolute certainty, just so I don't get caught in that sort of a situation.
Right.
Yeah. Most guys won't try to sprawl anyway. They try to sprawl outside in a way, so you're not really trying to put all their weight on you.
Right.
You know? Because then you're sort of underneath them, and then you get potentially run over, right?
Yeah. If you just sprawl straight on, you can still get thrown.
Yeah. And you know, you do something really good. Like you go right side versus left side, high lefty ponce nagi or osotogari into a drop lefty ponce nagi. And what a freak combination that is ever saw you do.
I somehow, made that happen. It was just
but it works. And you know what? It works because right versus left, you're looking for that sleeve, you're looking for that sleeve.
Yeah.
No one, it's like a ippon senagi osoto hybrid that you go for, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you go ippon senagi first and then you switch osoto and you're chopping at the knee and, you know, pretty risky there, right? People get freaked out.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the drop senagi or run it. So, like, it's a very difficult thing to do, you know? So you do a really good job. I'm telling you, I've never seen anyone do it.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And that's the beauty, right? Yeah. A guy, you know, like you can fucking do it so good. And then somebody copies it. Yeah. And eventually it's out right?
It'll be perfected even more. Yeah.
But I've never seen anyone actually do that specific combination, you know? So, you know, you should be proud of it, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a Peter Yu system on YouTube somewhere. Have I ever done that?
No. We tried to do it, but I didn't have any clue on how to describe it. So we did a video on the one-handed Taiyotoshi. But
what is this?
One of the randori videos, you explained that because I hit it on someone.
Oh, dude, there's another Peter Yu out there. Did you know this? This is you. Oh, this is you. Yeah, someone posted a video of you doing, look at you doing lefty ponce and left Taiyo.
That's you. You posted that.
No, this is not me.
What?
Liberty Bell 2013, fight one.
Oh, that was long time. That was a long time ago.
Did you go over trying? Is this you? I can't even tell, man. Sometimes.
No, there was another Peter Yu on YouTube.
Is it really?
That was judo, but it's not me. He's older than me. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a wonderful system, you know, and think of it this way, right? It's like the weak side ippon senagi high.
Yeah.
Weak side osoto off of ippon senagi, which not a lot of people do. You know, Fonseca does it pretty good, you know? But he does it off of Sode, right?
Yeah.
And then you go back to the drop left and you run it perfect. You know exactly how to finish it. So
yeah. That took a long time. I mean, you know, Shintaro showed me how to run it, and that it's a different feeling, like, because a lot of times you just kind of cheap by just like crunching down, but that's not what you want to do.
Dude, is this you?
Let's see. What did you send me?
Peter,
I'm pretty sure it's the... Oh, that is me.
Who's MFT, you say? Who is that?
I got pinned in this match. Oh, it's Mike Toussaint. You know Mike Toussaint?
No.
Yeah, he is a New Jersey, Philly local guy that I used to train all the time together in college. I got over under passed here.
Oh, wow, this is a good one. You just threw somebody drops at night.
Wait, this one? Oh, wait, what happened here?
Yeah, this is a good one.
Triangle of him.
Here's another one that you didn't. It's got 64 views too, dude. I'm gonna comment on it. Yeah, Peter.
Sure. It was a long time ago, back in the day. Oh yeah,
2013. Wow. Yo, this is KBI Judo Super Fights. Remember that?
Oh man, yep. There was a whole production. You don't do that anymore?
I haven't done that in a while. One-handed Tatoshi.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, well, I mean, there's some goodies of my old Seiwenage videos on YouTube if you guys want to check it out. Not that it's any good, but anything else about Seiwenage?
No, I'm going down the rabbit. Oh, there's a Peter Judo. He's another Korean dude also. Oh, interestingly enough, he looks Korean. He's a behavioral scientist. Interesting.
Yeah, that's
a different Peter Yu.
Different Peter Yu. I'm not a behavioral scientist. Man,
if you're a Peter Yu, you're pretty nerdy, huh?
Kind of comes with the name, I guess. Yeah.
Wow. He's a judo guy? No, maybe I'm not even looking at judo. Anyway. Oh, no, it is judo. This is Pete Judo. Oh, wow. He's a YouTuber, too. Oh, I might have to
collaborate. Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
Yeah, so the
thank you guys for listening.
Very popular throw, Seiwinage. Very versatile, highly effective. You see, if you watch a lot of the highlights, a lot of them are Seiwinages. And
I'm gonna give advice to the people who are listening.
Yeah,
just doing uchikomi and nagekomi, it's not gonna be enough for you to hit this in Rondori. Because there's a lot of nuance to this, setting it up, finishing it properly, making it look like you're going for something else. You know, so you just have to watch my.
That's all right. He does go in depth with all of this stuff, so please check it out.
Yep.
All right, that's about it for today, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.